This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Kat Wood, Travel and Fitness. You're a fitness expert. You're a travel writer. You are a yoga and Pilates teacher.
Instructor.
Yes. Guru. Yeah. Inspiration.
I'll go with Fitspiration. Guru. Why not?
Hashtag Fitspo.
No, God, I wrote an article about how hideous that term is a couple of years
did
ago.
Did you really?
I did, oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Which one, Fitspiration or Fitspo?
Both, but Fitspo, I just feel like it...
it's a hashtag
it's
got, too far.
It's good. The hashtag zero to do with fitness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what got you into... You got two things you're talking to us today, and they do intersect, and that's why it's such a great topic to talk about. One is your love of fitness, one is your love of travel, and then you writing about travel, and then being fit when you travel. So this is a really great big topic, and I think a lot of people are really interested, particularly this week, going to Mardi Gras, because a lot of people have really been putting a lot of effort into how they appear in their...
trunks.
Budgie smugglers. For tonight.
So,
and then they go and ruin it with about 16 gallons of alcohol.
16 pints, or yes.
I guess I've always written, even from kindergarten. I used to put my own magazines together and make the other kids write things so that I could staple them into little
books.
So
you're an editor.
I was an editor from
Rose.
Yeah, I really want. Well, I'll be running the country next. I couldn't handle it, but I've always written, and I guess I've always moved. You know, when I was pre-teens, I used to dance around my lounge room to Janet Jackson and Madonna.
Good choices.
Yeah, I know. I made up dances to everything. So I guess for me it was a natural thing to do to make my living out of writing and teaching fitness. It's certainly not what my parents had in mind, sending me to private school. But
what do they have in mind? Doctor, lawyer,
God knows.
Astronaut.
Yeah, well, something stable probably. and so did I. And I think, but I think you always have to do what you love. You have to find a way to do that.
So how did you? So your parents are different inspiration for you. How did you fall into fitness and travel?
Fitness was meant to be a hobby. It was meant to be that I loved pump. I was doing pump 7 days a week when I first started it. And so I...
What do you love about pump?
Yeah, which...
The bad 90s music and... more so the fact that you walk into a room, it's a whole bunch of strangers.
Yeah.
But people are so lovely to each other, mostly.
Unless someone drops a plate on someone.
Oh, totally. Well, yes, thankfully I've never seen that.
I saw that. First Alma Road.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So trouble.
The love of pump.
Yeah, so I actually did my pump teacher training going, I don't know if I'm actually going to teach or not, and then I loved it so much that I found between contracts, because I did a Bachelor of Multimedia, I found between contracts with agency, because that's the only sort of jobs that I was getting, I was teaching, and so I... It eventually just ended up being that I was teaching more than I was seeking work, and that just turned out how my career went, as much as you can call it a career. And then as far as travel, travel's still a hobby. I am very fortunate in that I've started to write commissioned travel pieces, but it's in early days.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You're with Stefana Mark on the Escape Hour. Our guest today, Kat Wood, is a fitness expert. She is a travel writer. She does a bunch of different things. She's a yoga and Pilates instructor.
I am, and I founded a class called Ballet Sculpt, which is essentially a bar class that doesn't use a bar.
Well, which is quite good, because a lot of the studios there's no bar, so I guess you
absolutely.
Can...
Absolutely.
Well, bar is B-A-R-R-E, right?
So correct. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But correct. Is it about the bar, the French spelling of bar? Is that...
Yeah, so that's where it was founded. And I guess the beauty of ballet sculpt, especially when I'm travelling, I had to bring it back to the travel, is that... Without a bar, without equipment, you can pretty much do it anywhere. I mean, anyone can come into a plié standing in their hotel room. So what I love
I'm
about...
I'm sure many of our community are doing that right now.
I bet they are.
Well, listening.
It's exactly how to get ready for a big Mardi Gras night.
Yeah.
But what I love is yoga, Pilates, bar, these things you can do anywhere and you don't need to have a teacher there, you don't need to have equipment around. I think people really underestimate how much they can do when they're travelling without needing to step into a gym.
What about yoga? Is that Pilates needs a few more props, right? But yoga is prop free. Do you sort of mix your yoga with your ballet?
Yeah, for sure.
Yoga bar?
Yeah, for sure. Pilates, I'm Matt Pilates trained, not reformer. So to me, I consider Pilates to be equipment less.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't need the big Swiss wooden torture instruments.
No. That's not my training. My training is very much just core body weight exercises on a mat.
Oh, fantastic. So this is all stuff you can really do in a hotel room while you're traveling, so you don't have to miss your routine.
So how do you get the motivation, though? Because I know that when you're traveling, and Mark, you do a bit of travel, you're on the plane, you get to work meeting, you think, and you get to the... I personally get to the hotel room and I think, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
And I like going to group fitness classes because I get the motivation out of having to force myself to attend something. So if I'm in my hotel room, I probably wouldn't be doing pliés or Pilates. So how would you...
I completely hear that. I guess I...
This is where the magic happens.
What I love is especially classes when you are overseas, because it's a great way to meet people. Mm. And even interstate, you know, if I go to Darwin or Adelaide or I'll go do pump somewhere and you start talking to someone and you go, great, I didn't think I knew anyone. Suddenly, I've got a new friend.
Yeah.
But as far as I think it was Michelle Bridges, I remember about 5 years ago reading in a magazine, and they'd said, you know, where do you find your motivation? And she went, well, I don't. I just do it anyway.
So you put it down more to habit, something that you have to get through your day. It's like brushing your teeth, exercise is a part of it.
It is when I start.
Yeah.
And maybe 5 minutes in, maybe 10, that's about the point where I go, yeah, I'm really glad I'm doing this because I feel good and I didn't realise that sitting for the past 2 hours had frozen up my whole back and that's why I'm grumpy and I don't feel like doing anything.
Right.
Once you start... Yeah, it's you go, yeah, this is worth it now. I feel good.
Right. And travelling, everyone wants to travel light these days. Nobody wants to check luggage if they can avoid it. They want to put it in the overhead and get in and out. You know, we've put so much pressure on ourselves to... And I think the travel experience isn't as enjoyable as it used to be, so we try and extract ourselves from a stressful situation. Mm. So... Equipment. This is, I guess, there's nothing you need. No special clothing. No special
nothing.
Shoes.
And you know, I've got a travel yoga mat, and I will take that if I'm on a car trip. You know, because it'll chuck it in the back of the car. But I wouldn't be taking it overseas. I think most of the time now, I think in quite a lot of hotels, and you guys will know better than me. You travel more than me. A lot of hotels actually have stuff that you can hire, whether it's towels for a swimming pool, even yoga mats these days. Mm. And there's so many online streaming fitness programs, and YouTube is free. You know, there's 10-minute abdominal videos. Friggin' get on YouTube.
Yeah.
I felt when I travelled to Hong Kong a bit and I attended gyms there, and there's this chain of them where you can actually hire the trainers, everything, the trainers, the socks, the towels, the shorts and the t-shirts.
Really?
So
right down to the shoes.
Right down to the shoes. Yeah. And it's very clean because as you expect in
Hong Kong absolutely.
So they would spray the mats after every single class, which people don't do here. I can... guarantee.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so you would just turn up.
Because you also teach, don't you?
I do a little bit of group fitness teaching. So you turn up to the gym with nothing, just in your suit and tie, and then you can hire everything, have your workout, and then go back to your hotel. So that's a way, for me, that's a way I've found to motivate to attend classes. But every time I try to do something in my hotel room, I completely fail. Even with a video, I just think, oh no, this is too hard.
Look, I think once you start, it's when you start, because it's the motivation to get started that's the real problem. I think if you get moving, and, you know, if it's not working in the hotel room, if it's safe to do so, go for a walk. Mm. Yeah, get outside.
Which is my big thing. I like to trot around the city because then you can... I was in Perth not long ago and I made the decision to be up at 6 a.m. Walking around the Swan River, and I had to take a loop around Wacker to get back to Northbridge to get my coffee.
Yeah.
So it was a 10K circuit to make sure that my coffee was at the end of it. And it was a great way to explore Perth, and East Perth particularly. It was beautiful.
Well, see, I did the same thing with Barcelona and Paris, in that even if the coffee place I wanted to go to was at the end of the street, I would get up an hour earlier and take a massively long walk around to get back there. And the things you discover accidentally on the way.
Yeah.
That's a great way to explore and get fitter. 10 kilometres is quite significant, Mark.
It is.
That's a big...
7 to 10 in the morning,
A
friend of mine... We were talking about this off air. A friend of mine has chosen the last mile lifestyle when she travels. So what she does is, instead of getting off at the destination on public transport, she gets off two or three stops earlier.
Great.
And walks and explores and sort of has a sniff around the area instead. And
Do that in your own city. Yeah. I just can't emphasise enough. I've been living in Melbourne my whole life, and I still find places and things and destinations I've never come across before that completely surprise me. This city is constantly changing. It's constantly exciting.
Yeah, and evolving.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So the nature of exercise that you're doing, and I think was really important for people to understand, and where this approach is really helpful, is it also helps relax, make the body supple, and help you breathe out and be calm, which is really important when you're travelling, because you need to be able to enjoy the environment as much as possible. Yeah. So talk about what kind of exercises in particular really loosen up that back, like you were talking about after sitting on the plane for that.
So, look, I think I am guilty of overdoing the chest weights, to be honest, and I think many people will be on board with me with that one, that we work out the muscles that you can see in the mirror. And so I have a bad tendency when I'm sitting, and you guys will probably notice me doing this, of rolling my shoulders forward. And I think if you're sitting on a flight, especially if it's 17 hours or beyond, sitting in that sort of hunchbacky position of the shoulders rolling forward, the chest caving in, it's hideous for your back, and it can leave you in pain for days. So that if you've then got to go do a conference or walk straight into a workplace, man, it's going to be horrible for you.
So what are good exercises while you're on board?
On board,
on that long 17-hour flight from Perth to London.
I would be just ensuring that you drink a whole lot of water so that both you stay hydrated, but also you have an incentive to get up and walk to the bathroom constantly. I'd do it so that you are walking back and forward. I will get up. I will come up and down. I will lift my heels up and down. So just coming into relevé up and down. I'll do a couple of squats. You know, I won't turn into a body pump class.
So do fellow travellers look at you a little bit funny when you start squatting in the
yard? Yeah, for sure. For sure, but it's a lot less weird than you know, yelling at your child or having a fight with your husband. I mean, people sort of look at you and go, "Wow, you're weird," and then they get over it.
Is it that weird though to get a bit of exercise?
No, not at all. But you know, some people are probably thinking, "Oh, I have another beer."
Yeah, but you know what? If you live your life wondering if other people think you're weird, you will never do anything. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
It is very true.
But I think in-flight exercises are a big thing. Ever since the whole deep vein thrombosis issue came around, and a lot of long-haul flights, especially, include exercise videos as part of their safety and you know, quite extensive guides on how to keep yourself moving and active while it's really constrained.
Look, I have actually started doing things on the plane, and other people have actually gotten up and started doing things too. In a way, it gives people
license. So do you bring out your boombox and pop on Eye of the Tiger and get everyone?
I am going to try that someday. No, but in a way, you know, it gives people permission to go,
correct,
okay, if you're doing it, I'm going to do it too.
Why not check out one of Joy's great podcasts? Tom Gleason stopped in to chat to Melbourne's only brother-sister drive duo on Murphy's Slaw, which is a cabbage-related show.
Oh.
Jason has returned to local roots, so don't miss his first podcast back with new releases from Alex Lay, Brux and more. And don't miss the best of the weirdest news with the latest Joy News Hotspot podcast. All these podcasts and many more available wherever you get your podcast. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
And of course, the Escape Hour podcast. The
reason
of us to not mention that, which was voted one of the best podcasts.
Yes, it was. Listen to our chefs. Yes.
I listened to that podcast.
You're in Escape Hour with Stefan and Mark. Today's topic is travel, fitness while travel. We don't really have a topic. We do. It's kind of fitness, travel, travel,
yes.
Fitness. You know, it's a bit of both. Kat Woods is here to talk about it. Kath, you're a... Kath. Oh, my God. What's going on? Kat, you're a Pilates yoga instructor.
I am.
Aficionado.
Yeah.
Ballet.
Yeah, and look, it's funny because Stefan is a fitness instructor as well, and I used to teach body pump. I don't teach it anymore because, to be honest, learning someone else's choreography is a challenge for me. I like being on the fly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think we sort of brought up before exercises that are really good if you are travelling a lot. So if you are sitting on a plane or sitting in the car, I think anything where you put the body in a reverse position to the one that it's in, so back extensions, anything...
Okay, so, yeah. We're talking now about... the process of travelling, being hard on the body, yeah. And how you can exercise your way into feeling better when you arrive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So doing the obverse of what your body is sort of crunching into out of sheer despair of sitting on a flight for so long.
Definitely.
Go into that in detail.
Well, also the things that you do just before you get on a flight. And to be honest, I actually... did start doing yoga just in an airport lounge once, and ever since then I feel quite fine doing it. And I have actually seen people doing it in an airport lounge since.
So you prepare your body before you get on flight. Just before the flight, or did you start a few days before, like, you know, like if you want yourself for jet lag?
I teach and I train every day.
Yes.
So to be honest, that's something that I'm already doing.
But for somebody that is not doing that, so somebody that attends the gym and is going to be traveling, when would you start preparing your body for this stress? Because this is quite stressful, sitting on that seat for so many hours.
Look, I think ultimately you've got to have a sustainable regime. Mm-hmm. And I think especially if you're traveling regularly, you need to be doing something every day. Mm. Whether it's an online streaming Pilates service, whether it is going to a class, whether it's having the discipline to just do something at home. So first things first, but you know, if you were not regularly doing fitness things, I'd say maybe a week before, maybe even 2 weeks before. If you ramp up maybe the walking a bit, if you work out even if you see a physio and just get the all clear that everything's working properly and getting an expert's opinion, even a personal trainer, just saying, you know, here's the way that I'm going to be traveling, here's what I'm doing, where I'm going, tell me what I should be doing. Because if you've got no idea, I mean, me saying you should do something a week before, I mean, you're going to sit here going, what though? And
so if you're going skiing, it's probably best to be doing things around your
leg strength,
legs, hips,
look, I
knees,
think core strength,
head,
whatever you're doing.
And
I think a lot of people will go, oh, core, you're talking about my amazing six pack. Mm. In fact, I'm talking about the pelvic floor. I'm talking about back, glutes, hips, 360 degrees around the body. I think so often we think about core as just being what you can see when you're in a bikini, and that's just not right.
And I think a lot of people neglect the core. And I mean, if you don't have a strong core, you can't do any exercise. And that's
when you get
your back pain and things. I think a lot of people don't think of core as crunches, which is not probably the best thing to do. I mean, it's something to do, but not the best thing to do.
Especially when we sit so much in that position where we put the abdominals in a shortened contracted position, the last thing we need to do is walk into a gym and do that more. I think anything where you hold the body in a contraction. So a plank is just the be-all and end-all of exercises. A well-executed plank, whether it's on your knees or your toes, is amazing for your arms and your back and your belly and your legs.
And you don't need any
props, anything,
any equipment, so you can just do that.
Nude.
You can do it nude if you want.
You could do it nude. You could do it in an airport.
But not nude in an airport.
No, well, unless you want to experience the justice system.
That's a terrorist attack.
Oh, you shouldn't be saying this word. I mean,
we're not at an airport now.
Oh,
people might be listening in an airport.
Oh, dear.
Maybe I'm giving people the inspiration to
put your pants back on if you're in an airport.
Plank. Yes, but if you're in
a nude plank.
If you're listening in an airport and thinking of getting naked to do a plank, don't.
Don't do it.
But do a plank.
Yeah, and, so plank, you can do it in a hotel room.
Yeah.
Yep.
You wouldn't want to do it in an airplane corridor where you're in flight, but in some of the larger... you might get a trolley in the forehead.
Yeah, that's true. Push-ups are brilliant as well.
Yep. Dips off a side of a bed or a table. There's lots of things you can do in a hotel room. And as you said, there are a lot of hotel rooms. It depends on the kind of hotel you stay in. But if you're staying with a Airbnb or with sharing in someone's home, they quite often have some equipment that's sitting around that you can assist yourself to do some exercise with. I'm sure that...
Yeah, and look, I think it's a bit of a make-do. I mean, maybe you've got things that that weigh 2 kilos that you can use as weights. I mean, it's a bit of make it up as you go. And the other thing that I thought you guys might know a bit more about than I do is I know that quite a few of the airports now are opening up yoga rooms or gym spaces where you can actually stream videos and do a little workout.
Really?
At the airport. LAX airport, okay. I believe, might
exercise.
There you go. If they don't already, then certainly that is being looked at. I think Singapore maybe.
Yeah, Singapore definitely. And there's actually Heathrow? A swimming pool in Singapore in Terminal 1 where you can do that. But I know we've talked a lot about this, the longest flight, the Qantas flight, but if you are traveling and have got a lounge access in Perth, they're actually offering some yoga and Pilates classes in the lounge.
That.
So to prepare for the body for this long haul.
Yeah.
So it is something that I think airlines are trying to consider, and they're changing the way they do their meals as well to be a bit healthier.
Well, yeah. Look, that actually made me think. I think maybe we take it for granted a little bit, but I always dress in a way that I can move. I think the last thing you want to do is get on a plane in jeans.
Or a suit.
So I actually wear sneakers and I wear yoga pants when I get on a flight. And in fact, my flight to Bali was delayed by 3 hours at one point, and I thought the only way I'm going to stay sane here is I just started doing yoga. I actually said to one of the attendants, is it all right if I just start doing some sun salutations right here? And she said, I have no idea what you're talking about, but go ahead, as long as you're not in anyone's way.
Or burning incense.
Totally. Yeah, they don't care.
You didn't bring a gong, did you?
Sadly, not on that occasion.
But you usually do?
Sometimes.
It hasn't happened yet, which is not to say that it won't. But, you know, people, like I said before, people will look at you like you are from another planet, but then they just go, well, you're not harming me, and my child is not crying, so whatever.
Yeah, move on. Mm-hmm. Move on with your life, fellow passenger.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you mentioned as well a little bit attending classes overseas. So how do you go about that and the language?
Yeah, talk about this again. You were talking about Barcelona.
Yeah, so...
And then you were also talking about the French attitude, but we'll go into that later.
Okay,
Barcelona first.
Yeah, I will not offend French people.
I'm French. You can offend me. That's fine.
So,
it's very generous.
Look, when I know where I'm going, I get on Google and I look up studios, I look up where I'm staying and what's nearby, because I absolutely love a yoga class. So I actually did look up studios in Barcelona, and I still remember I emailed one and said, I don't speak Spanish. Will I be able to keep up with your class? And I got a one-liner back, which is still my favourite email. And I'd said, is it okay if I come along? And she said, dear Kat, yoga is universal. Love, Beatrice. And
gracias, yes. Beatrice.
I know. And she was right. I did discover. So when I went searching for this yoga studio, I got lost. And so I tapped a girl on the shoulder and I said, look, I'm looking for a yoga studio. Can you help me out? And she said, oh, yeah, I occasionally do yoga. And we started walking. And it was entirely not on my map and I had no idea where we were going. And she pointed at a kid's shoe store. And she said, up the stairs. And then she wandered off. And I went, I guess I'll go up the stairs then. And I did. And it was Yoga Studio Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an Ashtanga yoga studio, just not far from Las Ramblas, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And 90-minute yoga classes, you meditate, you chant. To be honest, I could not follow the chant. I did not know the Sanskrit chant. But I sat there and listened to it, and it was beautiful. Looking out the windows, you looked at the entire Barcelona city. When the sun's coming up or going down, it's just amazing. And look, most of it was in Sanskrit. So if you've ever done yoga just a little bit even, you'll know Adho Mukha Svanasana, downward facing dog. You'll sort of...
Shavasana.
Yeah, Shavasana. You'll look at the person next to you and go,
Chaturanga.
Okay, I kind of get where we're going here. Mm. You know your sun salutations. You get up, you get down.
If they're coming off any of the traditional hatha... You understand.
It's hatha. It's just a flowing hatha, and you tend to go through the same routine repeatedly, and then meditation. And if I was completely off in what I suspected we were doing, the teacher would come over and kindly just adjust me.
So, yeah.
But I met people
there. And as Beatrice
there,
very rightly said,
it's universal.
Thank you, Beatrice.
So, totally. What about the French experience then?
So, look, I just found it was
yoga is universal
stricter.
Outside France.
A lot of things are universal outside of France.
Sadly, and look, it was just the one studio. So, to be honest,
so we don't want to generalise. One experience, obviously, and it's probably fantastic other places. But what happened?
It could well be. Look, I just found in Barcelona it was very set up for tourists in that you could buy a one-off pass. Mm. You could buy a three-day pass, whereas in Paris it was very much we do a running series of classes. So when you walk in, the other class participants looked at me like, who are you and what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
I've pretty actually much. Found that in France where I wanted to attend one of these body attack classes and I just couldn't because I had to join for a month to be able to go to one class. And one place they said, oh no, we don't do casual.
Yeah, it's funny.
Well, in Australia it's very much set up for that. You can just
most places.
Yeah. One, two classes, which was
well, things
different.
Like Class Pass in Australia are brilliant ways to, regardless of where you're staying, you can look up classes that are nearby, and without having to set up an account or any of that sort of business, you walk in, you do a class, and it's done. It's already paid for. It's already booked in.
I was at work.
I was riding my horse.
I was microwaving a watermelon.
My iguanas escaped.
There are lots of reasons why you may have missed your favourite show, but don't worry, because our podcast team has you covered. They'll work through rain, hail and national glitter shortages to bring you the best bits of every show. Visit joy.org.au and click on the podcast tab, or head to the iTunes Australia podcast store and subscribe to your favourite shows for free. Thanks to our podcasters, you'll never feel guilty about missing a show again. Joy.org.au.
Traveling as well can make you eat not very healthy. So
we were talking about
that.
Yeah. And it's great to do the exercise, but you've got to balance it out with nutrition. And we were talking about how airlines really ramped up what they're doing. And we've found the airports that do have yoga centres. So Kat Wood's our guest today, our fitness expert,
ballet sculpt, Pilates, yoga.
And travel writer.
Yeah.
So what are your takes on how food has changed from airlines?
Yeah, look, we were sort of discussing it off air and laughing about the fact that an omelette is a vegan option. But also I think I was saying that I ordered the vegan option a couple of years ago and just got iceberg lettuce and a couple of pieces of broccoli. And, I think more and more as vegan and vegetarian options get into restaurants and dining.
And in mainstream cuisine, a lot of people are choosing vegan when they're not vegan as an option, which is enjoyable.
Yeah, and I think airlines are definitely following that. And, you know, you don't get the salted peanuts anymore. I think airlines are going, right, well, we can't just feed you up with fatty crap to keep you satiated. But I think when you are travelling, there's an idea for a lot of people that you leave your normal life, so you should absolutely indulge and go excessive because it's an escape from real life and then you come back. But I think if we start to see travel more as an option to extend the life that you're living and the good choices you're making, you know, you don't see it as a chance to escape and just completely indulge in things that you wouldn't normally eat, normally do. And I think you can eat healthy without it being a punishment or a cost.
Correct, because I think that one of the great things about the ubiquity of Japanese cuisine, particularly sushi and hand rolls and Vietnamese becoming so popular around the world, is there are light, high protein, low carbohydrate choices which are affordable and accessible pretty much everywhere you go now.
Well, and a big thing that I love doing is, and I would say this combines fitness with food, so bonus.
Is running after a chicken?
to cuddle it as a vegan. But no, we're walking around markets, fresh food markets. I did it in Paris, I did it in Barcelona, I do it in Indonesia and it's amazing.
There's a great one in Bangkok.
Wherever you go, there's fresh food markets. You discover fruits and vegetables you've never seen or heard of before.
And I'll show you how to prepare it.
I'd love that.
With passion.
Yes,
absolutely.
Please. You know, so you go to markets and there have been times where all I've done is eaten fresh food that I've bought from a market, and I tend to try to stay in apartments rather than hotel rooms so that I do have some kitchen appliances. But even in hotel rooms now, a lot of places will, if you ask in advance, give you a Nutribullet, give you a blender. You know, you can take travel spiralizers. You can get a $12 spiralizer from Kmart that will fit in your hands-on luggage. So you make zucchini noodles on the go.
Zucchini noodles, yeah. Yeah, which I love.
Yeah, make it, I mean, just make things convenient for yourselves. Buy some raw nuts, some raw fruit to take on the plane so that you don't end up getting ravenous at the 3-hour mark and going, screw it, I'm just going to eat a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
You know, just set yourself up.
I think it's all about preparation and the same with fitness, as we were saying, trying to get fit, to stay fit and exercise. It's the preparation. We don't have to have equipment. Thing that we talked about a few weeks ago is fitness retreat and how people combine the fitness, the travel, and the healthy eating. And I think
yoga is a big one. It's probably one of the bigger
more popular,
fitness.
Yeah.
But have you had much exposure to other fitness kind of retreats?
Yeah. So look, when I travel and I love to do yoga and I love to eat well, but I am not very good at being told what to do or having my days mapped out for me. I can't stand it. If you do it, there's every chance I will try to find a way to rebel and do something else. So I love Ubud in Bali. There is yoga pretty much on every corner, literally. And
it's amazing, isn't it?
So many vegan options that you don't even have to think twice about whether it's vegan or not. It will inevitably have raw vegan food at majority of places, because that's just a natural way that people eat there. I think probably the same with Canggu and Seminyak, especially. Nusa Dua, all of those places.
Nusa Dua is just Bintang, isn't it?
Could be.
Bintang and rolling
food. And maybe some fresh fruit.
Yeah.
But I think as well, if you Google vegan or vegetarian, plant-based, pretty much everywhere you go these days, if you know a couple of places in advance, or if you're brave enough, ask a local where they go.
That's a great idea. Always ask a local.
Yes,
and the Indonesians are so friendly.
Totally.
It's a wonderful culture. Kat Woods has been here today talking about travel and fitness. Now, you're a travel writer. Kat, where can people read some of what you've written?
So my portfolio is catwoods, catwoods.me/writing. And I've written for Webjet, Intrepid, Flight Centre, Australian and International Traveller,
So what's your favourite topics? Or what are the topics that you haven't got the opportunity to write about yet?
Oh, God, so many things. Yeah. I'd love to do a lot more international travel writing. So quite a lot of what I've written has been Melbourne and Australian-based, and Victorian-based even. There's so many places I really want to go that I want to write about. Mm. So definitely, and you are the expat expert, but I would love to eventually, whether it's writing a book, but more so writing regular column, I would love to write as an expat and say, this is what it's like to immerse yourself in a culture and really make a life of it. I haven't been brave enough yet, but Mark, hopefully you can give me a kick in the butt. And
I'll do it again. I love it. Yeah. I'll always come home to Melbourne. It's it really is my spiritual tribe.
Mm.
But there's so much of the world to live in, and love learning languages, love learning how other people approach life. It's really so, to me, energising, and something that is absolutely inspires me.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, look, I stay in regular contact with Lara Brunt, who is an expat Australian. She lives in Berlin now.
Oh, yes.
But she lived in Dubai for a long time and the UK. And look, she is complete inspiration to me because she gets a lot of writing work for the airline magazines in particular because they want someone who's really had that immersive experience of living somewhere to write about places.
Excellent. So it's catwodds.me/
Writing.
Excellent. Look up Kat to see what she's got to say about probably your favourite travel destinations, and keep an eye on her career as it unfolds. Thank you for joining us on the Escape Hour.
Thank you.
We'll have you again.
So much fun.
Yeah, next time you're off, let us know. We'll hear more about it.
I'd love that.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.